Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy John. We welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It is midweek edition and kind of the middle of August, too. Wednesday, August 17th, 2022. We'll be celebrating 12 full years with the radio program at the end of the year. The Buckmaster Show, broadcasting from the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. The radio station is 1030. Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com, where we piggyback the live feed from kvoi.com. When we do our telephone interviews, which we will to start the show, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. The Buckmaster Show contributor on health is Dr. Victoria Mazes, the executive director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is a professor of medicine and public health educator. Internationally recognized as a leader in integrative medicine, Dr. Mazes is committed to helping individuals lead healthier lives and in pioneering change efforts that solve the U.S. healthcare system problems. She's the editor of the Oxford University textbook, Integrative Women's Health, and author of Be Fruitful, The Essential Guide to Maximizing Fertility and Giving Birth to a Healthy Child. Dr. Mazes co-hosts the podcast titled Body of Wonder with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow her on Twitter at Dr. Mazes or find her at azcim.org. She joins us now. Dr. Mazes, how are you?
I am doing well. Thank you, Bill.
It's very appropriate and serendipitous to have you on today, since our lead story will has to do with some changes in CDC guidelines. The agency's director just had a news conference. You might have heard that at the top of the CBS radio network news, saying that yes, the agency has made some mistakes and they must do a better job communicating with the public. And I think pretty much everybody would agree with that message.
Oh yeah, I think the CDC has been under a lot of criticism, and I mean, this is, of course, an unprecedented epidemic. However, they are our nation's public health leaders, and I think many people are disappointed with how much we've gotten wrong along the way.
Well, let's talk about some of these new pronouncements, loosening some of the CDC or some of the COVID-19 guidance, saying that those exposed to the virus no longer need to quarantine. And there's also news about at-home testing. Let's take a deeper dive into this.
Yeah, so the good news is that schools and businesses who until recently were told that if someone was exposed to COVID-19, they needed to go home and quarantine, don't have to do that anymore. This is, you know, going to move us back toward a higher degree of normalcy in our society. Instead, there is a recommendation that people take antigen tests, which are the home tests that you could do for yourself that the government has been providing to us for free periodically, mailing them to every household. And what their recommendation is that if you have no symptoms of COVID, that you take a test at home every 48 hours, three of them. And that's because the tests aren't perfect. If you do have symptoms, including mild symptoms like a cold or sore throat, that you only have to take two tests, actually, and they be 48 hours apart, again, in order to maximize the chance that you have accurate results from that antigen test.
You know, if you have not had COVID, and there's about 3 in 10 Americans supposedly have not had COVID, at least they don't think they have. Maybe they didn't have any symptoms at all. But it can be very confusing, Dr. Mazes, especially with cold season, even allergies. People may be sniffling, sneezing. It's probably best to err on the side of caution and take the home test.
I completely agree with you. I will use myself as an example. I've lived in Tucson for 23 years and have never had allergies, but just recently I've been wondering, do I have a little bit of allergy? I've had a little bit of sore throat, no other symptoms. As most of your listeners will know, that could also be a symptom of COVID. And so even though I don't know that I was exposed to it by anybody, I'm pretty careful still in my behaviors, I decided I should take a home test, which I did yesterday, and it was negative. So having these home tests also can give a little reassurance that this minor symptom you're having, which could be a cold or allergies, as you brought up, or a minor case of COVID-19, you now have a tool to test yourself at home.
So in your case, it could be mold. There's a lot of rain going on, and who knows? But the good news is you tested negative. But now would you test again in a couple of days?
So I think that would depend. Am I going to be visiting with someone who has a high risk? You know, they're elderly, they have some kind of immunocompromise, they can't be vaccinated for one reason or another. Well, then it would definitely be wise for me to retest. As far as I know, I've not been exposed to COVID-19, so I don't fit into those U.S. FDA guidelines that would say take three tests, because I don't have any history of being exposed to the virus. But, you know, again, this is where we can decide to be extra cautious. Some people have more anxiety about this than others. And so there is the opportunity to serially test and see whether a test indeed shows up positive.
Now, this new guidance, Dr. Mazes, is based on the results of a new national study. 154 people took part, the study found that 154 people who tested positive for the virus were using the PCR test between October 2021 and February of this year. And it turns out that pretty much, was it 93% of those, the test did detect infection?
Yeah, so this is trying to get at the difference between tests. So PCR, which is a test that you pretty much have to go to the drugstore to get, that's how we're mostly getting them these days, are the more sensitive test. But that is not what's available in the home antigen test. And so PCR, which stands for polymerase chain reaction, has to be sent off usually. Sometimes it takes 2 or 3 days to get the results. And so that's not a quick test. And if you need, you know, a quick test, then again, these antigen tests are terrific. So what they were trying to do was say, well, how effective are these home antigen tests? And in those 154 people who tested positive using the gold standard, the PCR, they found that if you were symptomatic and you took two antigen tests, 48 hours apart, 93% of the time it indeed showed the COVID-19 infection. But in asymptomatic people, so no symptoms at all, they're PCR positive. For some reason, they had to have a PCR test. Only 63% showed up positive. So we don't know whether that's because you have to have more of the viral particles. It's just, you know, not completely clear. If that same person took three tests, you know, those 48 hours or 2 days apart, then it costs 79%. So it gets to be much more effective in asymptomatic people if you actually do three serial tests 2 days apart. And that's why the CDC made that recommendation. I hope the government continues to allow people to order free tests, because that takes away the financial burden and it really helps with the time burden, you know, having to drive over to one of the drugstores and make an appointment, wait online, wait a few days to get the results. So the home tests are terrific, but it may mean you may need to do it multiple times to really be sure.
And one more point. The FDA says try to use the same brand each time of when you do your testing, same brand of testing.
Yeah, it is not recommended, actually. You don't have to have the exact same one, is what the FDA said, but you do need to have two or three of them, depending on if you're symptomatic or asymptomatic, so that you can do the multiple tests. So most of the kits come with two of them per kit. And so in this case, if you're asymptomatic, you'd need three. So you'd need at least two of those kits.
Well, thank you for correcting me there. I did misread that. It's people do not need to use the same brand each time of test, but make sure you've got enough tests on hand so you could take three tests at home over a few days.
And I just want to say there's one other thing that people find very confusing about these antigen tests, and that's that if you do have COVID-19 and you've tested positive with PCR, we don't tell you keep testing with PCR till you have a negative test, because we know the PCR is so sensitive that even once there's only what we call viral particles, you have no more active infection, the PCR can still be positive. People are using the antigen test to see, oh, okay, I've gone from having a positive test to now the test is showing negative, so I'm no longer contagious. And that's very useful to know when you could go back out into the world after the first 5 days. You know, that's when you're most contagious. Some people are frustrated. They're still positive at day 9, day 10. You know, are they still contagious? So in general, we're saying, you know, it is helpful to wait until you have that negative test. But after 10 days, it's pretty unlikely that you're going to be contagious anymore. Be extra careful. Wear a mask if you've had COVID and you're still testing positive after 10 days. But it's fairly unlikely that at that point you're still contagious.
All right, we're going to pause right here. We'll have more with Dr. Victoria Mazes after we take a break on the Buckmaster Show and the Green Things Zocalo Village Studios. We'll be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rialto River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
This is John Trout. Start your day well-informed and join me for America in the Morning, weekday mornings at 5 before Wake Up Tucson on 1030 KVOI The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio, our live line presented by Rincon Ventures, Real Estate and Property Management. We continue now with our conversation with our contributor on health, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona. She's also a professor of medicine and public health. Dr. Mazes, big news when it comes to folks who need a hearing aid. The FDA has now cleared the path for hearing aids to be sold over the counter.
Yes, I am so happy about this news. Hearing aids are expensive. Mm-hmm. They can cost up to $5,000.
Wow.
They're not covered by people's insurance most often. They're not covered by Medicare, for example. And we know that when people have hearing loss, they have a higher risk of dementia. This is research in part that's been done by Dr. Frank Lin at Johns Hopkins. He found that people with mild hearing loss had a double risk of dementia, moderate tripled the risk, and severe hearing impairment had five times the risk of developing dementia. That's probably for many reasons, including that if you don't hear well, sometimes you isolate yourself, you just don't participate. There's some evidence that hearing loss can contribute to brain atrophy. So if you're someone who's having trouble hearing, now the cost barrier is really going to be greatly reduced.
And this affects millions of Americans. It's estimated 30 million Americans experience hearing loss. And before this happened, you would have to go to a doctor, have a prescription written for a hearing aid. And then, as you point out, even entry level, you said five can be on the top end, $5,000, but even entry level could cost you a couple $1,000s.
Yes. So having to see the audiologist has been a barrier. Now, there are people who will benefit from seeing an audiologist and, you know, who need special fitting, or people who have more severe hearing loss may need the help of an audiologist. But this is really to make hearing aids much, much more accessible. It's estimated, like you said, that 30 million Americans have hearing loss, but only one in seven Americans who are age 50 and older uses a hearing aid. Now, sometimes it's because we're vain. You know, we don't want to acknowledge, you know, that we need a hearing aid, or it makes us feel old. We don't like the way it looks. Sometimes it takes some time to adjust. But it's really worth pushing past those things. And, you know, we've got celebrities like the Football Hall of Famer Mike Singletary uses a hearing aid. Former President Bill Clinton uses a hearing aid. I mean, this is just something we got to get over ourselves and use one if we need it.
Well, it's going to be interesting because the technology now will have to, or would have to change, I assume, to bring down the price point where it could be sold over the counter or online, where people could afford these things.
Well, I think that's what's exciting. I think what is exciting is as this law, you know, has changed to making it over the counter, the incentives for technology to improve and to maybe even come up with new ways. I mean, just think about people who wear devices on their wrists that are also a phone and also a computer and also a tracker of their health or their sleep. I mean, you could imagine that there could be all sorts of new devices that instead of making us perhaps feel like we look old, we might make them, you know, feel like it looks very cool or we're hip or something like that.
So this happens in October, and you have to wonder if there are even products right now that would fit into that price point.
Well, I think that, you know, that remains to be seen. October is around the corner, but often people like to get into the marketplace first because that can be a huge advantage for them if they're the one that is, you know, right there on the shelf for people to try and buy.
Let me ask you, Dr. Mays, is hearing loss just something that those of us of a certain age must accept? I mean, is it part of aging?
Well, it's not automatically part of aging, but it is sometimes part of what happens to us across the span of our life, which is we're exposed to loud sounds that can affect the hearing mechanisms in our ears, and that can be cumulative with time. And so you certainly will see people who are aging and their hearing is just fine, but it is pretty common. I'll point to myself. I grew up riding the subways. The subways had loud screeching sounds that I'm sure affected my hearing. I went to rock concerts. You know, that's above a certain decibel level, and that may have given my hearing a hit. One of the nice things about the new smartphones is they will track things. And most people know this, that on their cell phone, they may have a built-in app that tracks how many steps they're taking, but also will track the audio level of your headset, and it'll tell you, are you in a safe zone or not? And so that can be helpful. That probably can also tell you if your hearing is becoming impaired, because, you know, if you're needing to continually increase the volume on your phone to hear, that is a sign as well that you are either in a very noisy place or perhaps your hearing is not as sensitive as it used to be.
Yeah, we all of a certain age went to those very loud rock concerts. I know I certainly did. And working in radio and TV for a long time, I've had earpieces in my ears as part of my job, and I'm sure it has probably impacted my hearing as well. So this is a very good development. Let's bring our listeners up to date on where are we now with the future of the Center for Integrative Medicine, the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine.
Yes, so as your listeners may know, we have a complex of buildings that are being built to hold the new center, and we are in early stages of developing the programming that will be offered in those buildings. We'll have a teaching kitchen. We'll have a large auditorium. There will be a meditation space. So we're really looking forward to welcoming the public into this new set of buildings. And if you're really curious, there is a continuous camera at the site, so you can watch the building being built.
Yeah, and so you won't necessarily have to just visit the building just to see a doctor. I mean, this is open to the public who want to make their lives one of more wholeness and wellness, correct?
That's exactly right. We will be having educational programs for groups. There'll be individual opportunities to use the meditation space. There'll be cooking demonstrations. We're hoping to have Dr. Weil do some cooking classes because everybody always enjoys that.
He loves to cook.
He does.
So you do have now a podcast with Dr. Weil. How can people tune into that?
So the podcast is called Body of Wonder, and it is streaming on most of the sites that you might find a podcast. And so if you go on your computer and look, you'll probably find it with ease at some station that you typically listen. It is free, and we are really bringing forward the voices of different integrative medicine physicians, nutritionists, chefs, people with new technologies. So we hope that you'll join and listen on Body of Wonder.
All right, Dr. Mazes, thank you very much. Talk to you and see you in September. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, Dr. Victoria Mazes, the Executive Director of the Andrew Weil Center for Integrative Medicine at the University of Arizona, where she is also a professor of medicine and public health. And she co-hosts that podcast, Body of Wonder, with Dr. Andrew Weil. You can follow Dr. Mazes on her Twitter, at Dr. Mazes, or find her at azcim.org. We'll be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Are you searching for a sumptuous suite on the Italian Riviera, an exploration of the mighty Mississippi, or an indulgent spa in Cancun? Bon Voyage Travel will help you find exactly the vacation you're looking for anywhere in the world. With many cruises setting sail in over 1,100 hotels and resorts to choose from with our exclusive benefits, Bon Voyage Travel's experienced advisors are here to guide you every step of the way. Visit bvtravel.com or call 797-1110.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and penal politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We love Green Things, 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. It's so nice to go to a place where the sales associates are so darn helpful. They'll point you in the right direction for things that will really not only grow, but thrive in your garden. It's a beautiful 13-acre site. Green Things is open daily. They're in, well, they've been in business for more than 50 years, more than a half century. So it's not like the folks there got off the bus yesterday, as they say. It's GreenThingsAZ.com and their sister business, Zocalo Village, with all that great merchandise, much of it handcrafted in Mexico and Latin America. It's available at Zocalo Village. So it's greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Dr. Robert Hendricks is our contributor on education. He's been with us on the live line for the past, couple of months. It's always a pleasure to bring him into the studio. Dr. Hendricks, the Associate Professor Emeritus at the UA College of Education, former Superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, former Arizona School Superintendent of the Year. As if he didn't have enough on his plate these days, he's the Vice Chair. You're still the Vice Chair, right, of
yes.
the Interfaith Community Services, which was so darn busy, my goodness, feeding people and helping them, giving them all sorts of assistance during COVID. First of all, Bob, great to see you again.
Oh, it's good to be back in the studio.
Back in the yes. studio again.
Always so, much better to be able to talk face to face.
Yeah, and it's not just now the COVID issue, but inflation is just hitting our community like a huge hammer.
Yeah, it's unbelievable, and I think the depths of the psychological economic damage to people, I think, is untold. Mm-hmm. And I see people struggling every day in my experience with ICS, and it's not just people who are typically the folks in need, but it's a new generation of individuals. You can't even put an age bracket on these folks. People who are genuinely struggling, whose hearts and goals are in the right place, but they just need extra help to get by.
Well, I'll tell you something. The education profession needs some extra help just to get by, because teachers across the country are leaving the profession, and it might surprise people on why some of these teachers are leaving.
Well, yes, and if you read the latest headlines, the American Federation of Teachers, which is one of the large teacher unions, is calling an unprecedented teacher crisis. The Washington Post recently called it an astronomical teacher shortage. And the Labor Department, our National Labor Department, cites that 300,000 teacher vacancies have come about in the last 2 years. Now, researchers, Bill, are a little skeptical about some of this data. And I might join them in one regard and say that there's no doubt that these numbers create some kind of a crisis. But I think if we look at it more carefully, whether you want to look at Tucson or statewide or nationally, you're always going to come up with the same situation, that the greatest shortages are in certain geographic areas, certain schools, and certain subject areas. It's a general concern, but when you drill down, it's very specific to certain areas. And let me just kind of take a look at that a little bit. There's really the top shortages when you look nationwide are in some very specific areas. The number one area is secondary math.
Mm-hmm.
Districts report that 46% of districts report that they have shortages in secondary math. This is not a new phenomenon, Bill. It certainly is exacerbated by the pandemic, but it's been a problem for a long time trying to get math teachers. I remember when I was in Flying Wells, we started what at that time was a very innovative idea, not so much anymore, but giving bonuses to teachers who would enter the profession and teach math in our high school.
Mm-hmm.
Very controversial. Controversial would not be controversial as a business model, but in the teaching profession, for teachers to think that some teachers were getting an additional reward or additional incentive that they weren't getting, what was a problem for them.
It was like a signing bonus, wasn't it?
It was. Yeah. It was. And, it, you know, it's... It
and
certainly
that was innovative at the time, but that's going on now.
It's not anymore.
No,
it's not anymore. In fact, Clark County,
Nevada,
which
Las
is
Vegas,
the nation's fifth largest school district,
wow,
is offering all kinds of bonuses. They're offering bonuses if you move in from out of state. They'll give you a $4,000 bonus.
Whoa.
If you sign a 2-year contract, mm-hmm, in other words, I'm not just staying for a year. I'll stay with you for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
We'll give you an extra $5,000. So these are incentives that are, yeah, across the board. And so secondary math is a major problem. Another major problem are the physical sciences, mm-hmm, chemistry and biology, physics. Difficult to find these people. And the reason is really quite simple, that the industry – outside of education, can pay more, can offer more benefits, can offer them promotional opportunities. So if a person is looking at teaching versus going to work for Raytheon, for example,
mm-hmm,
it's really kind of a no-brainer unless,
yeah,
your passion,
yeah,
is so much that you're willing to give up a lot off the table to teach. And maybe you're willing to do that for a couple years,
mm-hmm,
but you're not going to stay that way. And so it's not just attracting teachers, it's retaining them as well. Another area are classroom assistants. Now, classroom assistants typically are paid minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'd kind of put that in the same category as a lot of other minimum wage employees. Maybe they don't want to work for that anymore. Maybe it's just too difficult to struggle doing that on a regular basis and trying to maintain the other circumstances in your life. And we're seeing that, I think, in the whole employment sector. So, you know, whether it's a classroom assistant or a bus driver or a maintenance worker or someone who, you know, mm-hmm, works in those blue collar, so to speak, jobs. Hard to get them, hard to keep them.
And it's impacting TUSD, the area's biggest school district, big time.
It is. It is. It's a struggle getting those people, and I keep using the word retention because getting them is one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Keeping them is something else. Another area which has always been a struggle for school districts are bilingual educators.
Mm-hmm.
There just are not enough of them. And, you know, as our population continues to grow with native speakers, non-native speakers, you need those kinds of instructors. And then lastly, substitute teachers.
No.
These folks have never been the first-class citizens of education.
Nope.
Never. They've always been
looked at as glorified babysitters, right?
Exactly. And it's hard to find them. And 45% of districts are reporting that they can't get enough substitute teachers. And some districts have resorted to taking teachers who typically have one preparation period a day and rotating them into those classrooms to cover for those subs. So then you have that unintended consequence of teacher burnout. Teachers are not happy with it. Some of them complain that this is not what I signed up for.
Hmm. So, well, let's take a break right here. We'll be back with Dr. Robert Hendricks more about this and also some other kind of breaking news about the empowerment scholarships. Be right back.
Tucson's original gastropub, Noble Hops in Oro Valley, proudly announces a second Tucson area location where you'll enjoy locally brewed craft beer and gastropub fine fare. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies, on West Lambert Lane at North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley, and now at the Doubletree Hotel on Alvernon across from Tucson's Reed Park. More on the web at noblehops.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
At Tucson International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We're also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Delivering a $2 billion voter-approved regional transportation plan involves complex policy, legal, and financial matters. The Regional Transportation Authority is open to answering any questions you have about delivery of the current RTA 20-year plan or about the development of a new regional transportation plan for the next 20 years. Contact the RTA at info@rtamobility.com. Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Hi, this is Tom Sullivan. Join me weeknights from 7 to 10 for the Tom Sullivan Show on 1030 KVOI, The Voice.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show and the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studio, Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, makes a great year-round getaway. It's especially appealing right now with after the rains. Things really greening up. It's only about a 3-hour drive, and there's so many outdoor activities over there. we send so many of our listeners over there, and everybody comes back and said they had a great time. Start your visit by logging on to southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find all sorts of tips on things to do. There are a lot of them, and some great places to stay, lots of great places in the area, and great places to eat as well. Dr. Robert Hendricks, our education contributor, is with us in studio today. Dr. Hendricks, the former superintendent of Flowing Wells School District, and he's professor emeritus at the University, associate professor emeritus at the U of A College of Education. Before we wrap up our discussion on the teacher shortage, you had a few more comments, Bob, that you wanted to make.
Well, districts are trying, as you can imagine, every possible innovative approach.
Recruiting tool.
To try to recruit. You know, the bounty bonuses, we already talked about that and so forth. One sort of interesting wrinkle in the state of Arizona is a bill that Governor Ducey signed last month, which allows teachers to, or candidates to teach in the classroom who are working on a degree but haven't finished the degree.
Really?
That's a major deviation from the whole certification requirement.
You can get in the door without graduating from college?
Yeah, you have to be working on the degree.
Yeah.
But you can actually work in a classroom. And
does that mean a freshman working on a degree?
Correct. Correct. Now, I actually think there's some great opportunities there because I think districts who are really into training and growing their own can take that neophyte person and put them through a series of experiences that are directly observed and directly mentored. And hopefully when they finish that degree, they have groomed somebody that they really want to keep.
That's a good
point. I actually think it's a good thing. Now, whether in the governor's infinite wisdom he thought of it that way or not, I don't know. Yeah. I mean, it's sort of one of these things that defragments, you know, the system as it exists right now.
I mean, it'd be like an intern, but instead of an intern, this is a real teacher.
It would be a person
who
that they could be authorized
while
to pay.
Going to school. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And of course, the district can still be selective as to who they want. But you have somebody who's working on a degree and maybe instead of student teaching, they come into the profession. They can be mentored. They can be work side by side with a veteran teacher. So I think it's a great opportunity. We also know that TUSD is working on something that's, I would say, possibly innovative, but, you know, sometimes innovation comes out of desperation.
Yeah.
And in this case, it's trying to address that secondary mathematics shortage and getting people into the classroom through virtual teaching.
All right. Want to switch gears here. Arizona families will have access to an empowerment scholarship for their school-age children this September. The governor's office put out this news release a few minutes ago. Governor Ducey, parents, kids celebrating the most expansive school choice initiative in the nation. They're calling it an historic moment in education.
Well, I would agree that historic, Mark. You know, the governor and the legislature have been chipping away at this for many, many years. You know, we started, you know, with, they didn't call it empowerment, but we started with voucher systems, you know, for a very limited number, very limited population. And then we expanded it, and now
that's been over a 20-year period.
Really. Oh yeah, for sure.
We were one of the first states in the country to really go into this school voucher thing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And you notice that they're careful not to use the word voucher.
Yes.
They're using the word empowerment scholarship.
Yes.
And so it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing. But, and I, you know, the question in my mind is always the same. Who does this benefit?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have a large charter school opportunity for parents mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. select from.
Mm-hmm.
We have homeschooling opportunities for parents who make that choice. This is really, in my opinion, about private schools.
Mm-hmm.
This is the last piece. This is the last piece of the puzzle that this empowerment scholarship is going to be able to address. And so people who can afford the tuition are going to be able to benefit with a generous discount. People who can't afford it are going to be able to get a portion of that, whatever they decided is going to be the scholarship amount. But it's still not going to get them to the point where they can pay full tuition. And so those individuals, and I'm be happy to be corrected in the future if I'm wrong, those individuals are not going to be the individuals who are going to be able to get to those private schools. So in a nutshell, I think it advantages some people. I don't think a lot of people are going to take advantage of this situation. Many people, I think, are happy with their public schools. They're happy with their charter schools. The people who are homeschooling believe in that principle and that concept. It's the private schools, hopefully, you know, are going to see some advantage to that. But I don't know where we're going with this. But Arizona is going to be a leader in it, so we're going to see. I think we need to follow the statistics on this and see exactly what is going to happen with it.
You just wonder about the future of public schools, the public school system in Arizona.
Clearly, there's an attitude among some legislators that this is going to help dismantle the public education system.
What some see is what they have called in the past government schools.
Right. They believe that there's this insidious plot in public education mm-hmm. to indoctrinate our children. I hear that over and over again. These are claims. I've never been able to see it substantiated. Certainly in the districts that I'm familiar with, Bill, in the state of Arizona, I don't believe it's happening on a wholesale basis. Maybe there's some individual teachers that do this, but let's examine that if it's a problem. Let's also remember that private schools don't have the oversight and don't have the control. Now, maybe some people believe that that's good, but I also believe that part of the control is holding people to educational standards. And so if we're going to hold them to the same standards, we have to test them the same way. We have to report the results. We have to look at everything that the curriculum is requiring, and every school should have that. We expect it of charter schools, expect it of public schools. We should expect it of private and sectarian schools as well.
And homeschooling.
And homeschools. Yeah. That's pretty loose. That's pretty loose.
Well, we were just talking about teacher shortages, and I wonder, for some young teachers, maybe they'll look at Arizona and say, you know, I don't really want to go there.
It could be. And I think there is a sense that perhaps the incentives for teachers,
mm-hmm.
which of course, you know, are the backbone of the success of any school,
mm-hmm.
whether it's public, private, or charter. If private schools typically are underfunded, typically don't have the salary schedules that other teacher salaries do, and so I don't know how that's going to work. We'll have to see.
All right. That, by the way, will be going into effect kind of after the school year has started. That's kind of weird, hasn't it? September 24th.
Yeah, and I hope
you
I'm right
think
here.
It's gonna
I don't
make
think
a
there's going
to
be a mass lemming lemmings of people jumping ship. You know, mm-hmm. The reality is most people like the schools that they're in. Mm-hmm. They like the services provided, and many, particularly those people who have youngsters with special needs.
Yes,
they are not going to jump ship, Bill, because the public schools provide probably the finest support for special needs students that you could possibly obtain.
All right, Dr. Robert Hendricks, always a pleasure. We'll see you in September. Thank you very much for coming in.
Sure. Happy to be here, Bill.
All right. We're going to end it right there. We've got Dave Ramsey, his very popular show about your money. That's coming up next. After CBS Network News, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Thanks to John Engineering and producing the show. Have a great afternoon, everybody.